This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, March 21st. Happy Friday. I hope the first day of your March Madness bets went well using that Parks app. Hopefully you got a little money to go on Friday, but today is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we got a jam-packed podcast today. Zach Bond and Lane Johnson talked about signing their new deals with Lane Johnson. It's an extension and, you know, keep him until he's 37 years old. So Lane talked about how many more years he really thinks he can play, what it's like to be the last member of the Big Five still with the team. And then Zach Bond talked about re-signing with the Eagles and, you know, the fact that now with a big contract, he's going to have more pressure and more expectations on him next year. So Zach Bond and Lane Johnson on the other side of the commercials. But first, we got some interesting pieces of audio here for you. One from Daniel Jeremiah and Greg Rosenthal. I should say two from them that I thought they made some interesting points about where the Eagles are at. But let's start with Brandon Graham talking about his retirement. So Brandon Graham was on the NFL Network and he was asked, and you know, Brandon's doing his media tour, his well-deserved media tour, and he was asked of all the text messages he's gotten, because you know he's gotten a lot of text messages and calls over the past week, few days, which one meant the most to him? And here's what Brandon had to say about what text he got that meant the most to him.
Your teammates have been hitting you up, your phone's probably been blowing up. What was the one message that really got you in your feels, kind of hit really hard when it came to just you transitioning to the next part of your life?
Well, you know, just I'll just say my guy Jay Hurts hit me with just, man, gonna miss you. You know what I'm saying? Being out there talking, you know, to me, because every practice, you know how I go, talking to your quarterback, let him know, hey, man, that throwing arm gonna be tired today, man. You better be ready. You know, throw me one. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff that just go into building every day, building that bond. I think we was more sad this year that it was over because of how much we came together in the end and how we put together that display, you know, in the Super Bowl. It was special this year. So that's what I'm going to miss the most, hearing guys telling me, you know, how much they missed me around, because I'm going to miss them just as much as they miss me.
So I talked about this on the podcast, you know, about his retirement press conference, but I really don't think Brandon's been given enough credit for the job he's done connecting with Jalen and, you know, bringing him along over the past few years. Jalen's talked about how that Super Bowl loss really hurt him in 2022 and how it's been a tough few years for him. And we've heard all the talk about him and AJ's relationship, the Eagles wanting Jalen to be more outgoing with his teammates. And Brandon stepping up and being really, you know, I can't say best friend for sure, because that's a complicated question for anybody to answer, and I certainly don't know the answer to it, but being one of Jalen's good friends on the team. And it seems like whenever you see Jalen out in public, Brandon's with him, you know, their significant others seem to be good friends. On Friday, or this earlier this week when Brandon retired, you know, at one point Brandon's wife was up on the stage and she was like saying to Jalen and his, you know, significant other, come up on stage, take a picture. So you can just tell that they are close. And I think that's been really good for Jalen over the past 2 years. Now, Brandon's not going to be in the locker room next year. So I do think now, you know, Jalen doesn't have Brandon there. And how Jalen gets along with his teammates and the type of leader he's being will always be a topic, as it is for any quarterback, really, when you cover a team. Being a quarterback is tough. Being a leader is tough. But without Brandon, yeah, Jalen's, you know, the challenge is different for Jalen next year than it probably was for him having Brandon in that room, considering Brandon was, you know, is a captain or was a captain, is a greatly respected in the locker room, has the ear of every player. So, yeah, I think it's really cool the job Brandon has done helping Jalen. And I think it's, you know, going to be an interesting kind of subplot to watch next season about how things are going for Jalen. And just, you know, is he stepping into a larger leadership role with Brandon gone? So, in addition, Daniel Jeremiah and Greg Rosenthal, interesting podcast. I've listened to a few episodes, and I'll be completely honest. Shout out to Jimmy Kemsky of Philly Voice once again. He did an awesome job finding this quote. But yeah, so they do a podcast, the 40-somethings Free Agents, and they talked about the Eagles twice in each of their last two podcasts. And I thought both of them were really interesting. So the first one is Daniel Jeremiah and Greg Rosenthal talking about how the Eagles take an NBA approach to the way they build their team. So here is that comparison they made.
Talking to somebody in the league, a coach, about this the other day, I said, you know, the Eagles are fascinating because it almost feels like they're taking an NBA approach, which is they're paying their stars, right? And you look at the exodus of players. They had some good players, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, like good players that walked out of the
cut. Darius Slay, Gardner Johnson, they traded.
Yeah, so, but what they've done is they've said, okay, we've got our piles of money. We're going to put it into the stars, and then the rest we're going to really, we have a really good scouting staff. We're going to scout our butts off. With all these guys leaving, we're playing the comp pick game, so they're going to have a million picks this year and next year based off what's happened, you know, over the last couple of years. So they're going to then try and surround those stars with a bunch of cheap, young, talented players, and they hit in the draft. It's like, I think the Rams are the other team that's, they won the Super Bowl with that NBA approach. And now, you know, you've seen them hit on all these young players. The Eagles have hit on young players. It's an interesting formula out there to try and do that.
And also,
I think that's a really fascinating way to look at it. And I think it's true. If you look at how their roster is constructed right now, it's top heavy contracts. Now, cap hit wise, it's not really the case because they do spread things out and they do a good job. But in terms of the allocation, yeah, they pay big time money to, like, you know, fifth or probably not 15. They pay big time money to like 8 or 9 players on the roster. They have draft picks that they expect to perform at a high level. And then after that, they fill the roster out. And you saw this offseason how they do that. 1 year cheap deals. And it's true. If you look at the NBA, I mean, frankly, look at the Sixers right now. The Sixers have obviously had a disappointing season, but it hasn't really been because of the role players. Like, they had a similar strategy of Maxey, Paul George, and Embiid make all the money. And then the rest of the players, they have to hit on cheap deals, mid-level exceptions, rookies, that type of thing. And they actually have done that this year. Not to, you know, talk about the Sixers too much, but you look at their role players. Quentin Grimes has been awesome. McCain was awesome when he played. Adembona has been awesome. Yabusele's been awesome. Kelly Oubre has been good. So they've gotten role players to play well. The Sixers' issue has been their stars did not play well or play this season. For the Eagles, you know, they last year got everybody to contribute, but the Eagles expect their star players to be special. That's why they make a lot of money. And then with the depth, those guys have to play a role. Like last year, Zach Bond talked about how he was a puzzle piece. Now he's much more than that because he is a high-paid puzzle piece. But last year, Zach Bond was signed on a 1-year, $3 million deal, and he far exceeded that. And they paid him, and they kept him. But the Eagles, you know, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast, have now with the 1-year deal and no in-season extension and a lot of high-paid guys, they are going to have to continually kind of cycle guys in and out. So just thought that was an interesting comparison there by Daniel Jeremiah. So next up, Daniel Jeremiah also made a point that I thought was a good one and I think helped them in free agency, talking about the benefit of playing for a team like the Eagles. So here's Daniel Jeremiah talking about that.
To a coach about, you know, certain teams and organizations, the Eagles being one of them. And this was the great point that he brought up, is if you're going to go on one of these 1 year, you know, prove it deals, he was like, do you want to go to a 1 o'clock Sunday team? He's like, and he was, and I don't want to throw, like, I won't throw the team he mentioned under the bus, but it's like, he mentioned one of those NFC South teams. And he was like, you want to go there, play at 1 o'clock every Sunday, or you can go to a team like the Eagles, play, you know, be on the national stage. You're in the 4 o'clock window. If you're not in the 4 o'clock window, you're playing Sunday night, Monday night, big stages, big games. Everybody's watching. Everybody's paying attention. Your 7 sacks you get with the Philadelphia Eagles are going to end up being more valuable than the 7 sacks you might get in the NFC South, is what he was mentioning. And I don't know if a lot of people think like that, but I'm telling you, that message is being sent to players and to try and entice them on these, you know, short-term deals.
They should be. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, you can go to Jeff Stoutland University and suddenly you're going to get a bigger contract in free agency. Who did?
Yeah, no question about it. I think when you look at, if you're a free agent and you want to sign, not only do you want to win, but you want to play for a team where you are going to be seen, where you feel like you can go there and make an impact and people are going to notice. And also a place that has proven to be money makers, to be star makers. Like, the Eagles took Zach Bond, turned him into a big time contract. They took Mekhi Becton, turned him into a big contract, or certainly bigger than he had the year before. Even Isaiah Rodgers came and got, what, $8 million guaranteed after being, you know, a suspended player that wasn't even allowed to be in the team's building. Like, they are excellent at taking role players and making them money. And if you're an agent or a player that's a free agent and looking to go make money, you should come to Philadelphia. That is where it happens. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they've got 9 players to come here on 1 year deals. The tight ends are coming here thinking they're going to get more opportunity. Josh Uche, Azeez Ojulari are hoping they can turn their time here in big primetime games into big time contracts. So that's definitely an advantage the Eagles have. Obviously, they pay well and all those things help them. But ultimately, if you're a player, playing in Philadelphia is good for your brand. It is not only good for you contractually, you will get off-field market deals. Look at Saquon, AJ, like Jalen. The Eagles make players money. And when you are recruiting free agents and all those things, it's a big time benefit when you're out there. And look, maybe you get guys for cheaper because those players know they take $4 million from you instead of $6 million from someone else. Next year, that $4 million turns into $20 million instead of maybe $10 or $12 million with another team. So good points by Daniel Jeremiah and Greg Rosenthal. Definitely on how they're running things and how they're able to help players make more money on the other side. So, speaking on the other side, let's talk about what Zach Bond and Lane Johnson had to say in their press conferences this week. But first, a word from our sponsors.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app. or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so outside of just the new players they've signed, the Eagles also signing Lane Johnson to a contract extension and Zach Bond to, as we have talked about at length, an important contract. The Eagles needed to get him back. They got it done. And the two players were in the NovaCare this week signing their new deals, and they took time to speak to the media about a number of things. Like with the new players, it's often like, what do you know about Philadelphia? How excited you are to be here. There are legitimate things to get into with Zach Bond and Lane Johnson. So let's dive into what they had to say, and let's start with Zach Bond, since he was the one that really obviously was much more up in the air if he would leave. Everyone knew Lane was going to be back, but Zach Bond spoke to the media, and of course the first question is, why did he skip free agency? Why did he sign with the team prior to the start of free agency? And here is what Zach Bond had to say.
When we spoke to you at the end of the season, you said you were curious to see what free agency will hold for you. Never got to that point. Why did you decide to return to the team when you did?
Yeah, I really didn't want to leave. Like, what we built here, the culture here, and honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I was just a piece of the puzzle that was put into a great culture already established. The people that work here, the systems in place, just everything I felt here this past year. Just felt right for me and my family as well. So really didn't want to leave and just appreciated everything we built.
So there's a couple things in there. First, let's be honest here. He essentially did go through free agency. He knew what teams were interested, what they would pay. Like, yeah, he didn't go into free agency technically, where maybe if a team lost money because they were trying to sign somebody, or I should say maybe a team that didn't have money before because they were trying to sign somebody and then they didn't get that guy and all of a sudden they have money. Like, yeah, being in free agency has its benefits. But yes, he was well aware of who could pay him and where he could potentially go. But the thing that really stuck out to me there was the calling himself the piece of the puzzle that was already in place in terms of already being with a team that made the best version of himself. And I think that's so true. Like, I don't know the other contract offers he had. I'm sure the Eagles was right there with whatever any other teams were willing to pay. But I do think Zach Bond is correct in stating, like, I played my best football here. I came here and they got the best version of me. And for Zach Bond signing a massive deal, there is pressure that comes with that. And next year, he'll be expected to be a lot better. And that would have been true wherever he signed, whether it would have been with the Rams or, you know, whatever team he would have picked, the Falcons. I think Zach Bond is going to be under a lot of pressure to be better next year, which we'll talk about in a second. But staying in Philadelphia allows him to be better than I think he was going to be in other spots. The coach knows him. He knows the coach. He knows the teammates. The teammates know him. His life's already set up here. He doesn't have to move. Like, I think Zach Bond realizing, like, yes, I am better off succeeding in Philadelphia than I would be in other places, was really smart by him, and calling himself a piece of the puzzle is already in place. I really like the way he phrased that in terms of saying, you know, he fit in here, and because of that, he was able to help everybody be better, but also he was able to be a better version of himself. So speaking of that pressure, Zach Bond is now going into year two with the Eagles under a big new contract. Defensive Player of the Year candidate last year, career year, one of the best defenders in the NFL. But he's going to be expected to, you know, be just as good, if not better, next year. So here's Zach Bond on how much room he thinks he has to improve in year two.
How much room do you think you have to grow in this defense with these coaches in year two?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I look at, like, my highlights sometimes, and it's hard for me, my football mind to look at the highlights but not think about the plays that I missed during that game or after a game. We win the game by 30 points, and all I can think about are the two plays that I let up or the three plays I had bad coverage. So I'm a perfectionist in that way, and I felt like towards the end of the season I was playing so confidently that I knew I was going to make a play, and I just couldn't tell you what it was going to be or when or where. But I'm excited to build off that confidence and continue to find myself in this.
So one thing I don't think we consider when talking about whether the Eagles are better or worse going into next year is that there are players that could improve. And obviously on the surface, you look at Zach Bond and go, how much better could he realistically be? He was almost defensive player of the year, career year, all the, you know, interception of the Super Bowl, number one defense. Like, it's going to be hard to be better. But I think for any other player that was playing the first year in a position, we would say maybe that, like, presumably he'd be better in year two. Like Quinion and Cooper, a full year under their belt, we expect them to be better in year two. You know, a quarterback, when he gets his first, look at Jalen from 2021 to 2022. When you change positions, Chauncey going from corner to safety, like once you have a full year of experience there, you're better at it as it goes on. And I think with Zach Bond, yes, it's going to be hard to reach those accolades, but I definitely think there's a world where he is a better player in 2023, 2025. Wow, it's crazy. It's already 2025. In 2025, because he now has a full year under his belt, he's not worrying about the contract, his life is set up here in Philadelphia, and he has a full year of tape to watch of himself in that position. He didn't have that last year. He'd never played the position. He was learning it through training camp and then learning it throughout the season. And obviously it was outstanding. But yeah, I think there's a real possibility that Zach Bond is better in the second year than he was last year. Now, another component of Zach Bond with the team is that he's now suddenly, like, I think the oldest projected starter on the defense. You look at it, all the defensive linemen are younger. The linebacker next to him will be younger. All the corners are younger. Adore Jackson is not, so that would be one potential one. But he is going to be like the elder statesman of that group, especially having already been there. So he was asked about wanting to be a leader, and here's what he had to say.
With that new contract that you have now with guys like BG now moving on, do you feel a sense that you have is a increased pressure or sense of duty, like in terms of being a leader among in the defense now?
I feel like that's something I've wanted to do myself, and not just because BG's leaving or other guys are leaving, but because I want to grow it as myself, as a leader and as a guy on this team that can have a voice and be impactful to the guys on this defense and this team.
So clearly with Brandon Graham leaving, the leadership void is open. And, you know, Darius Slay as well. And, you know, depending on who you ask, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So there is a leadership void there. But one thing that really stuck out to me when watching the mic'd up versions of the Super Bowl was how vocal Zach Bond was and how he was saying to everybody, all right, calm down. Like, you know, stay cool. It's 0-0. Or, you know, talking to each other, each person in the huddle, calling the plays. Like, I thought he really came across like much more of a leader than I knew he was. Obviously being around the team, you know, guys respect him and, you know, he's a vocal guy, but I didn't know he was that level of leader. So I do think he steps up and becomes a leader on the defense. And look, it's a natural position to do it from. Like the linebacker, you're in the middle, you interact with the line and the safety. It's so, yeah, I think Zach Bond is going to be a leader on that defense next year. Obviously, other guys will have to be as well. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, you're going to want to see Quinion step up, Reed Blankenship. But Zach Bond, I definitely think, could end up being like the vocal leader and the person that really is like the face of that defense next year. So it's good to hear him say it's something he's wanted to do. I think he did it last year, but to do it even more next year, definitely a good thing. So, speaking of a guy that's a leader and is certainly an elder statesman, Lane Johnson talked about signing a three-year extension. An extension would take him up to 37 years old if he plays throughout the whole thing. 37, how old is that, right? I mean, kidding, because I'm old. That's the joke. So Lane Johnson was asked about being the last guy standing among the Kelce, Brandon Graham, Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox, like, you know, the big five to the core four to, you know, three of them, then two, then one. So Lane was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Do you think it will be lonely to be the last guy standing?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, I mean, it'll be a different, you know, a little bit different even with Kelce gone this year. It'll be another piece. You know, with BG, same way it was with Fletch. The good thing about it is I know that if they're not here in the building, they'll be close by. So, you know, that's really what I'm looking forward to. You know, I'm happy for these guys. They're making a new transition into something else. And, yeah, man, I'm very happy to be a part of their journey and getting to witness and everything that they've achieved.
Yeah, me and James talked about Lane on the BG pod, you know, talking about BG's retirement. And yeah, Lane's right there. Like Lane is just as good as Jason Kelce, in my opinion. You could argue better. I think Lane's probably had a better career in some ways than Brandon has. So yeah, being the last one standing, you know, this will put him in the spotlight. Like, I do think because of the personality of Brandon Graham and Jason Kelce, Lane has not really been able to show the full length of his personality, or at least it doesn't get the attention. I mean, the guy did just post a video in a Bob Ross wig lifting weight, so it's not like he's never shown personality. But I do think now that he's the last one standing, we will probably look at him more, appreciate him more, and he'll stand out more as opposed to when he was surrounded by those big time personalities. But the other interesting part of him signing a 3-year deal is that it does take him to 37. So Lane was asked about, you know, does he expect to play the full 3 years? Is this just kind of a contractual thing to spread it out? Like, does he plan on playing 3 more years? And here's what Lane had to say.
Lane, we've heard you over the last few years say, you know, maybe a couple more years. This would be 3 more years. Do you see yourself playing it through to the end of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible. I think when you get to this stage of your career, you take it year by year. But, you know, physically, I feel really good. You know, I was thinking, you know, a few years ago when I was coming back from all these surgeries that, you know, I thought my body was going to start, you know, feeling or going downhill. But, you know, I just think with how strength and conditioning program we have here, the stuff we do in the offseason, I feel really good. So, yeah, as long as I'm feeling good and I feel like I can contribute, and yeah, I think I'll continue to play. You know, it's all I've really known. I love, you know, just my football family. I'm an only child, so, you know, my brothers are here, and I've always been in the locker room, you know, and that's how I feel.
You know, Lane's body, I think, like when he had those ankle issues, there was probably a point where he was thinking, you know, maybe I'm not gonna be able to keep playing, but he has been healthy. He's in great shape. We, you know, he's been very vocal and brave talking about kind of the mental struggles he's gone through. It seems like, you know, he has that in a good place. So yeah, I think Lane could play 3 more years. You know, physically it'll be hard just because, you know, the guys are going to keep being younger and stronger and faster. And Lane, unfortunately, as we all do, you get older, but I think he could play at least 2 more years. And I think he's definitely locked in for 2 more years. He'll play next year. And then it would have to really fall apart for him not to play that second year. And also, let's be honest, he could get another extension. Like, they feel like they redo his deal pretty much every offseason. So I do think you'll see him play the 3 more years. And as part of that, they're going to want to eventually look for a successor that can take over for him on the outside. When Mekhi Becton was here, there was some thought he could be the successor to Lane, but obviously Becton is now in LA. Now look, in 2 years, he could re-sign with the Eagles, but I don't think they're going to draft a tackle in the first round. I just don't think they would spend a high-level asset on someone that's going to sit for at least 2 years. But Lane did say he was interested in helping bring along a successor. So here's what Lane had to say about the team drafting a tackle and him kind of bringing him along.
Every year, it seems around draft time, the Eagles are always, or people are always talking about the Eagles drafting your successor eventually. You say it's not going to be this year, but would you like to see someone come in, a young guy that, you know, you can kind of take under your wing to sort of mold the way, you know, they did with Cam Jurgens and Kels?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be, you know, an exceptional experience. I think, yeah, I mean, I credit Jason Peters for, you know, my development, you know, with, you know, keep me aware of what the culture was like in the city. You know, what I really need to focus on when I'm playing tackle. You know, he was my biggest mentor. And so, you know, I think for me, where I'm at in my career, I love, you know, talking to the younger guys and helping these guys out. And you can see their game develop. And, you know, being able to pass that stuff down the way that it was passed down to me is a cool thing. And, it's, you know, it's not like that at every place. Like I said, I think the culture here has been this way for a long time, and that, you know, players have always looked out for the best interests of the team and the organization. And so, yeah, I'd be honored to be a part of that process. Whoever we draft and whoever we bring in, you know, I'll be here to help.
It is a good thing the Eagles have going with Kelce helping Cam Jurgens, Fletcher helping Jalen Carter, Darius Slay helping the young corners there, like Brandon Graham helping the edges. They have done a good job of having like young guys there to learn from the guys they're replacing. And while I don't think it'll be a first round pick, I think in 2026 you could see them use a high pick on a tackle to have Lane bring him along, because it's a succession plan that's working for him. It's a strategy that's working for him. And with Lane seeing it work for other older players with their guys where they get to retire and then they get the credit or at least some credit for the fact that their young players are playing well. I do think that really matters. So yeah, I do think you'll eventually see them draft a successor, but I don't think it will be this year. So finally, Lane was asked about the fact that now he is going to be playing with a new starting right guard for the fifth straight year, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. Like, for as much continuity as Eagles have had in a lot of ways and for as well as their line has played, to have a starting right guard for the new fifth straight year, that's wild. So Lane was asked about it as well as, you know, what he knows about Kenyon Green and Tyler Steen. And here's what he had to say.
I could be wrong, but I think this is going to be your fifth straight season with the new guys starting next to you. Just kind of like, you know, obviously you played with Makai last year and everything. Now he's gone and you got either Tyler or Kenyon. And I was just kind of wondering, like, you know, what it's like having that turnover next to you every year and your thoughts on Kenyon, if you've met him, and Tyler.
Yeah, I met Kenyon a long time ago, I think, training. No, he's a East Texas guy himself from Atascocita High School. So I'm excited to get him here. You know, Tyler's really progressed the last couple of years, I think, physically. And so, looking forward to possibly competition. There's no telling, you know, who else we'll bring in. But, I just think with our culture in our room and how Stout teaches, I think that he helps maybe shorten the learning curve for new additions. And so, you know, you saw that with Makai last year, a guy that's played only primarily tackle coming in and playing guard. So, you know, I think we have an unbelievable teacher in Stout, and I think the coach that we have guys in the room that are going to be with whoever's, who's ever in their right guard. So, you know, we'll be behind them.
I do think Lane will get a lot of say in who the starter is. He'll practice with these guys. He'll tell Stout who he feels more comfortable next to. I think he will have a lot of say on who that eventual starter is. I think the Eagles are probably hoping it's Kenyon Green. I think Lane is probably thinking it's going to be Kenyon Green. And I think Tyler Steen is viewed as a high-level backup that could be a low-end starter, unless he surprises them. But I don't think they view him as a guy they want starting. I think they would love if Kenyon Green made good on that first-round potential and won the job and, you know, be there. New Makai Becton. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy March Madness today. Always a fun time with the tournament. You know me, big college basketball guy. So thank you for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.